All right, this is the broadcast for the controversial God's Grace for You and should be aired on Thursday, the date on the label. Well, thanks so much. This is Pastor Greg Durrell, pastor of Heritage Bible Church, back with you again. We're having just a grand time in the Lord this week. We trust that we've said something that has been edifying for you, perhaps even enlightening. And we hope that you've gone to the Scripture and begun studying and reading for yourself. I think it's an important issue. We've been talking about this spiritual phenomenon known as tongues that's prevalent in much of professing Christianity today. And we started off our discussion on Monday under the assumption that all that happens today, all these unknown tongues, wherever they're used, with a blanket assumption that they're biblical. Now, I'm telling you, a blanket assumption that they're biblical. I'm not telling you they're biblical. But what we did then is we've said, okay, if they are biblical, then when would use of those things violate Scripture? And we've been going down, and we've looked at about 8 so far, things that if they're used in these manners, if these things are taught, then it's in violation of Scripture. Now, I think overwhelmingly, let me just roll off some to you for a moment, and you tell me if you think then that perhaps the experience you've had, or maybe perhaps some ongoing experience that you have with this phenomenon, maybe you're in some group or something where this is prevalent. You be honest with yourself. Obviously, I can't see you. You can't see me. Maybe you're sitting in the privacy of your home, your office, your car, whatever. Ask yourself these questions. Think them through as they come up. And I'm going to give you 8 things here. And you tell me, in your group or your experience, has there been a violation of the Word of God through these things? Firstly, speaking in an unknown tongue violates Scripture when more than 3 people at any given meeting, any given service, totally, 3 people total, speak in an unknown tongue. So if you're at a service and you had 5 people speak in an unknown tongue, 25 people speak in an unknown tongue, 500 people speak in an unknown tongue, it's a violation of Scripture. Secondly, when women do the speaking, period, ever, at all, when a woman ever stands up and speaks in tongues, ever sits down and speaks in tongues publicly in a public service, in a church service, a gathering, okay, ever, when a woman ever does it, it's in violation of Scripture. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you been in a church somewhere and a woman publicly was speaking in an unknown tongue? And again, we went through the heavenly prayer language. If you've missed the beginning of the week, then get the tape. But that's no defense. It's no argument at all. As a matter of fact, it puts you in worse shape than you are now. Thirdly, when the speaker interprets for himself. You've ever been in one of those things? Maybe the pastor gives you this unknown tongue proclamation and then interprets it himself. I've seen guys on television do that. The infamous Robert Tilton, the crook, Robert Tilton, does that all the time. Babbles in some unknown tongue and then he tells you what he just said. It's a complete violation of Scripture. Now, what is he? Well, the guy's a con man. He's a con man. But you know, the local Christian television station puts him back on. Why? Because they'll do anything for money. No outrage at all. You got a crook right there on television, back on television, fleecing the flock, but they say, hey, you pay us, you're on. Where's the integrity? You tell me. Everybody's on a crusade today, right? Everybody's on a moral high ground. Well, what about that? That's a good crusade. If we have any crusaders listening, why don't you take that on? Go picket them. How about when there is no interpreter at all? I've seen scenarios like that myself. It's in violation of Scripture. When there's any sort of confusion, it's in violation of Scripture. When the control of the individual is lost, when the individual says that it was not in their control to utter this thing or not utter it, God the Holy Spirit came upon them and they had to utter it. If you're around anything like that, it's in violation of Scripture. When it results in any new revelations, which it does all the time, it's in violation of Scripture. And when everyone is exhorted to seek this gift, it's in violation of Scripture. Now, at this point, some of you are just probably just furious with me. Well, I'd have to ask you, why are you furious with me? You think I'm just making this up? In other words, do you think I've just made these proclamations myself? If you've been listening all week, we've given you chapter and verse for this. Go read 1 Corinthians 14. Read it line upon line, precept upon precept. Look up the things you're supposed to find. Find the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Find heavenly prayer language. Find those things that you might think exist. Find where in 1 Corinthians 14 God the Holy Spirit takes over the volition of someone, speaks through them in an unknown language, then takes over the volition of someone else and interprets what he just said through the other person. Please find that for me, because I cannot. Can't find it anywhere. Anywhere. Now, the irony of this is where we find this sort of thing prevalent, we also find another gospel. We also find no security of the believer. We find huge facets of human achievement. You're either working to get saved or you're working to stay saved. One or the other. You're every one of these places, almost without exception, and there may be some. I don't want to say blanketly everyone is wrong with this issue. There's some perhaps that are right. But overwhelmingly, the majority never offer anybody salvation. All they can afford you to have is probation. You don't have eternal life, you have conditional life. Now, isn't it odd that this spiritual phenomenon abounds, and where it abounds, we find a deficient gospel. Moreover, where this so-called spiritual phenomenon abounds, we find the ecumenical movement flourishing. We find people who embrace the Philistines. We find people who embrace those that have a counterfeit gospel. They embrace all professing Christian religions, regardless of their blasphemous treatment of the cross of Christ and His Word. Now, that's not my opinion. That's simply how it is. That's true. Now, if you disagree, then we invite your reply. But I think you owe it to yourself. Listen, let me ask you a question now. I'm not selling you anything, right? I'm not trying to convince you to buy something from me. I'm not trying to get you to give me money. I'm not trying to get you to join this church. I'm not trying to get you to do anything other than open the Word of God and see if I'm lying to you or not. Now, if I am not doing the best I can to tell you the truth, then what in the world is my purpose? What do I have to gain? Just make you mad at me? I mean, I'm certainly not going to get any money out of it. I'm not selling anything. So what in the world is my purpose? I'm telling you, don't believe me. I might be a crook. Don't believe me. But believe the Word of God. Now, what do I gain out of that? If I'm completely unbiblical and wrong in what I'm telling you, then I'm signing my own death notice, right? In a figurative sense. Why? Well, because you'll go check me out and you'll write me a letter and you'll say, hey, you missed this chapter, this verse, you took this out of context, this is wrong, that's wrong, et cetera, et cetera. Then either I have to come back and apologize and recant and say, hey, I was wrong about this because I missed these chapters and verses, or I have to ignore that completely, not address the issue, and then you know I'm a hypocrite. But a hypocrite for what purpose? What am I gaining from it? I'm not gaining anything at all. I'm telling you, you need to come in line with God's Word. Not Greg's Word. God's Word. I didn't write the book. I tell people that all the time. If I'd have wrote the book, it would have been much thinner. Much thinner. It wouldn't have said nearly the things it says. I simply would have said, I am God. Every time you sin, I will hold back your oxygen for 5 minutes. And we'd have a lot of people walking around with turning blue, some people dying, and other people having immense staying power in their lungs. Why? Well, because I'd make it real simple. Do it my way or you're dead. But God is loving and compassionate, And he wants none to be lost, none to perish. And he's long-suffering. And he knew we could never, never, ever live up to his standards. And so what did he do? Well, he reached down to ours. He became flesh and lived the perfect life, sinless life, fulfilled his own divine requirements that you and I and no one could ever keep. He kept them in our place. He fulfilled the law. He went to the cross and allowed your sin debt and mine and the sins of the world to be placed upon him. Now he says, if you will believe that I, Jesus Christ, died for you in your place, I paid your price that you owed for sin. If you will believe that, then I will give to you everlasting life. Marvelous message, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. It's called the grace of God. It's the good news. It's the gospel. Now, there are people who would like to see this destroyed, and obviously it's the God of this world and his minions. And how does he do that? Well, he does it through false teaching, false doctrines. Does that mean everybody who's got a false doctrine is demonic? Not at all. Does it mean that everybody who teaches incorrectly is part of some demonic conspiracy to defraud people of everlasting life? Not at all. But there's a lot of people that are ignorant of the Word of God. And as a result, they go about to establish their own righteousness. There's a lot of people who go from one religion to the other. They get off of one religious boat and jump on another, and as they simply bought the party line of the first, they buy the party line of the second, never studying for themselves. I watched a person one time, he says, I'll give you proof for these tongues things. I'll give you proof. Romans 8:26, for we know not how to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself gives groanings which the utterance with groanings which cannot be uttered. I said, really? That's your proof text, right? So the Spirit gives this intercession, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He says, that's right. That's the proof right there of unknown tongues. I said, did you miss the part or did I miss something here, this cannot be uttered thing? Are you uttering it? He said, well, yeah. I said, well, then it can't be this. Because this you cannot utter, number one. Number two, you're not involved in it. And number three, it's God the Holy Spirit that does it. And literally, it's talking about gushings from the heart. It's not talking about audible sounds whatsoever. And the conversation died at that point. Because he knew that what he had done is simply take a text out of context. He had no proof text at all. And that was the best he had. So what did he have? He had nothing. Are you building your spiritual life on nothing? Or is it built upon the Word of God? I pray that you'll open the Word of God and see for yourself. Now, if you'd like the fact sheet we're offering or a copy of this week's broadcast, give us a call. Heritage Bible Church, 392-4900. Or go to the website, heritagebiblechurch.com. Or come by and see us. We're at 785 Heritage Avenue, Tarrytown, Louisiana, zip code 70056. But most importantly, call a friend and join us tomorrow, please.